Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this being a Monday morning, we're going to begin with our special feature. And that is, we're going to read from the Rock Cliff Review, which is the bulletin for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. I write these bulletin articles, and these bulletin articles somewhat serve as a summary of the sermon that I preach. When I do that every Sunday. And so you not only hear the sermon, but you can take home a summary or an outline of it, or at least a supplement to it, in the bulletin that is handed out before the morning worship. Now, this particular Sunday, I was preaching from the 33rd Psalm. And what I want to do is first read that Psalm, and then read the comments from the Rock Cliff Review. And here is the 33rd Psalm from the King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice, for the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsels of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart are unto all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh down from heaven, and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in thee. Now here we have from the Rock Cliff Review the sermon comments on the 33rd Psalm. The title is, A Psalm of Joyful Praise. The 33rd Psalm is a psalm of joyful praise. Rejoice in the Lord, it begins. Those who know how to worship God in spirit and truth, John 4:23-24, know the joy of worship. O ye righteous, the psalm continues, for God has pleasure in the worship of the righteous, and without righteousness in the life of the worshiper, the forms of worship are a mockery. Praise is comely for the upright. That means it is beautiful. The next time you're gathered for worship with those who love the Lord, consider how sweet and heavenly is the sight. The second verse of the 33rd Psalm mentions 2 instruments. This is the first time musical instruments are mentioned in the body of the Psalms. It is suggested that the harp was the smaller instrument held in the hand, while the psaltery was the larger instrument with 10 strings. The instruments were part of the old temple worship, but were not mentioned in the Psalms so that they might be used in the church. The Geneva Bible was produced by those who wanted to restore New Testament worship. A footnote accompanying this verse in my old 1599 Geneva Bible says, To sing on instruments was part of the ceremonial service of the temple, which doth no more appertain to us than the sacrifices, cleansings, and lights. Psalm 33:3 says, singing to him a new song, new as in fresh and not stale. It is easy to mouth old songs without engaging the heart. Sometimes new songs help us sing anew. But we need to sing old songs like new songs. Some take the passage from Psalm 100 in verse 1 where it says, make a joyful noise, and teach that as long as singing is joyful, it can just be noise. Here the psalmist says, play skillfully with a loud noise. It is a noise, but it is a skillful noise. We do not have to be maestros to sing God's praises, but we should sing our best. The psalm to rejoice in our worship. And it gives four reasons to rejoice in the Lord. Here we identify each of them with a word that begins with C. Number one, his character. Psalm 33:4-5. God is a God of integrity, faithfulness, righteousness, justice, and goodness. And this is demonstrated by his word and his works, if you look at Psalm 33 and verse 4. Number two, his creation. Psalm 33, and we'll start with the latter part of verse 5 and go on through verse 9. Just begin reading again from the latter part of verse 5. Here we have the earth, the heavens, and the seas with all the host of them and with all their inhabitants. We read in Genesis 1, God said, and it was so, and here, he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Psalm 33:9. Number three, his control. Psalm 33:10-17. People with political power get the idea that they're running things. But God is over all. And though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet. One of the great lessons from the book of Revelation is stated in Revelation 19 and verse 6. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And there's a great principle set forth in Psalm 33 and verse 12. Where it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God is watching. He made us. He knows us. He knows our hearts. Every king on every high horse owes his safety to God. But then number four, his care. We praise God for his character, his creation, his control, and his care. Psalm 33 18-21. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon him that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. We are taught to fear, to wait, to hope, to trust, and to rejoice. This psalm that begins with praise ends with prayer. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Psalm 33 and verse 22. It is a joy to worship God together in praise and prayer. The next time you come to the meeting house for worship, enter into God's presence with joy. Well, that's the end of that reading, and that's the gist of the sermon that was preached that morning at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. I need to remind you that this Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to return to our regular Bible studies. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of March the 9th, 1924. It is about the tragic reign of Saul. And as a reminder, God had sent Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. But Saul, in his own wisdom and in his own pride, he thought it would be best to do what the people wanted to do. And instead of utterly destroying all that the Amalekites had, he brought back the best of the oxen and of the flock with the idea that we'll sacrifice these unto Jehovah. And he also brought back King Agag. And so Samuel came to Saul and said, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Jehovah?" 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 19. And for the foregoing reason, Saul was under great obligation to obey God. Just as we are, we obey God because of His mercy. Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are under obligation to obey God because of God's goodness. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" We're under obligation to obey God because of God's love. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, Paul writes that the love of Christ constraineth us. And in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, "We love because he first loved us." Saul was under lasting obligation to obey God, and we are under obligation to do the same. But Saul didst fly to the spoil. Saul did not hesitate. He flew at it. He fell upon it most eagerly, taking the things from the Amalekites that he wanted to spare. And Saul did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. What evil had Saul done? When his purpose was to sacrifice to God in Gilgal, he had knowingly failed to do that which God had said, and had presumptuously undertaken to perform as worship that which God had not commanded, a sin which many people consider lightly today, or a thing which some consider not a sin at all. They think they can improve upon God's will. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 20 that Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of Jehovah, and have gone the way which Jehovah sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Saul was conscious of a good motive, and perhaps satisfied God would accept his offering at Gilgal, withstood Samuel to the face that he had obeyed God. He knew what God had commanded. He also knew he had not done the specific thing, but he felt sure that his departure was unimportant and that God would accept what he did as obedience. He insisted he had obeyed God. If ye had used the arguments today, he would have said he was honest and sincere, that he knew his own heart, and that just so his heart was right in the sight of God, it mattered not so much what he did or what he didn't do. He could have said that the work was done. It mattered not when, where, or how it was done. The heart is right only when it loves God supremely, and never in disobedience.